No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley, and we are back again, closing out the week as we get ready to dive into the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Colts dress rehearsal in preseason week 3. A lot to expect here. We've got a lot of things going on with the Colts right now. Some shaky offensive line situations. When's Luck going to come back? When's he not? All this and that. First and foremost, I want to tell you guys that we did reach the 50 review mark, so we will be giving away that Andrew Luck jersey. Congratulations to whoever that ends up being. That will be totally random. We'll pick through there and figure that out. But thank you guys for getting us up to those 50 reviews. Continue to do that. If you haven't given a review and you want to, give one, and we'll put you in for the next drawing. We'll do that every 50 reviews. We may cut it down to 25 now, every 25 or so, and do that as well and give away another player's jersey in the process. But for tonight, we are going to, like I said, dig into the Pittsburgh Steelers, and with me is Alex Kozora. What is going on, my man?
Hey, Matt. Good to talk to you again. Congrats on the 50 reviews. Yeah. You have an Andrew Luck jersey. You don't have a healthy Andrew Luck, though. I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah, so are we. we're worried about it. We're worried about a lot of things right now. So I think a lot of people probably have those Andrew Luck jerseys, but you know, some lucky dude or gal is going to end up winning that. So that's exciting, and it's helped get this podcast off the ground. And that's, you know, obviously, as you know, very important as far as getting out to your listenership and everything like that. We've got a great group of listeners, very interactive and stuff. And I know that they want to hear, you know, or maybe they don't want to hear exactly what the Colts should expect to see this week. We know that this is, you know, the dress rehearsal. This is the week where we get to see our starters, or at least those that are healthy, go out and try to do their best. Pagano said today that the Colts are going to game plan this week. It's a game plan week for both teams, obviously. We want to see what we've got. We don't necessarily want to see what you guys have got, but we want to see if we can stop it. And, you know, this is, you know, kind of a crazy year for you guys. You guys have Martavis Bryant back, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Back. So, I mean, it's something that the Colts are definitely going to have to contend with outside of Antonio Brown. Now, he does intend to play. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. Ben, A.B., James Harrison, they've been held out of the preseason so far, but Tomlin said they will all play against the Colts.
Ah, interesting. So we've got a full cast for the most part. Is there anybody that's going to be sitting out that would typically be in during a regular season game?
The only name that I'm very confident that's going to miss is Mike Mitchell, who hurt his hamstring or ankle on the first day of padded practice back in day 3 at camp. He's missed since. Tomlin didn't rule anybody out. He tends to not do that during this preseason stuff, but I don't think Mitchell's going to go. Ryan Shazier and Bud Dupree have missed time, but if I had to guess, I don't know for sure, I had to guess they're both going to play against the Colts, and I don't know exactly how long they're going to go. Typically play, you know, that normal half, but some of those guys could be a little more limited, like Shazier, because he's missed some time.
Mm-hmm. Now, who's somebody that the Colts like are going to notice right off the jump that maybe we're not so familiar with?
That's a good question. Some of these guys, there's no major injuries, just some guys that, you know, have missed some time. Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie from USC, he's had 3 separate injuries during camp, kind of some bad luck. He's most recently working back from a bone bruise. He's back in team, I believe, but I'm not sure what his status is. Eli Rogers, the normal slot guy, he's a guy that I think most fans aren't too familiar with yet, but he's continued to improve. I watched him over training camp. I was at every training camp practice, and you saw him and Ben get on the same page more and more. And then, you know, should he go, he was in concussion protocol last week, officially didn't have a concussion, but Javon Hargrave has been having a fantastic camp. The nose tackle for the Steelers third round pick out of South Carolina State last year. His plays continued to ascend. And then a guy that I'm sure Colts fans are actually kind of familiar with, but Tyson Alulu, who the Steelers picked up as D-line depth, he's having a really strong camp as well. Colts fans know him well from Jacksonville, and he could give you some bad memories. I don't know what his play like was in Jacksonville against you guys, but he's had a really good camp for the Steelers.
Yeah, he was always really solid. I don't think that the Colts necessarily feared him, but he, you know, he was a guy that you saw that he could definitely put, he could definitely get some pressure into the backfield if necessary. And, you know, he was definitely a guy that had some potential. So, like you said, Colts are very familiar with him, at least the coaching staff is. But the Colts have, you know, largely a very new roster, a very undefined roster at this point. Mm-hmm. It was something that we're not really used to outside of the 2012 season. We know what we've got most of the time. We're not always happy with it. But this, in this year, you know, you guys have so many corners on your team right now on this 90-man roster. Who's the best corner right now that won't make this roster?
That won't make the roster? That's a good question. The corner situation in Pittsburgh's really weird right now. There's good news and bad news. The good news is there's a defined best corner who will make the team. Artie Burns has clearly ascended and has become the team's top corner, which is huge. First-round pick from Miami last year. He's clearly the best guy. The bad news is I have no idea how the rest of the cornerback group is going to look. It's been kind of an open competition. The right cornerback spot where Ross Cockrell's been is kind of up for grabs right now between him and Cody Sensabaugh. There's some depth guys that we don't know about. So in terms of guys that might not make the roster, they could keep seven. So, you know, they could be that deep there. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. But Brian Allen, a fifth-round pick out of Utah, a guy that's pretty raw but has shown better technique and his run fits have been better than I expected. He's improved over camp, but he's fighting for a final spot.
He's Steelers just,
yeah, what is he, 6'2", 200-plus, to ran 4'4". So
yeah,
similar to that Artie Burns mold, they want the height, weight, length kind of guys that can play more man coverage. It's something Steelers have talked about openly doing. Steelers just made a trade, as of we're talking, Matt, yesterday, last night, for Deshaun Phillips, who was a nickel corner in Washington, who was a player-for-player trade, so he could get cut as well. There's another small school kid, Mike Hilton, who's had a really impressive camp, small nickel guy out of Ole Miss, and then Tenquez Golston, who I think is almost certain to not make the team. He's been injured again in, 3 years with the team. He's played in 7 practices and finished 5 of them. So the worst injury luck possible. The third day of practice this year, he pulled up with a left hamstring injury, has not practiced since. So that's a name that I think people will be familiar with on the waiver wire, but just unfortunately really never learned much about Golston because he was always hurt.
Yeah, that's and I laugh, but that's not. I don't mean that it's funny. It's right. Just unbelievable.
You can't believe it. Yeah, yeah. It's 3 years, 5 practices. He's finished.
That's unreal. That is really unfortunate for that guy because, you know, he was obviously pretty talented coming out of school, right. And you just, you know, it looked like a good pick at the time. I mean, it's just, you know, that's too bad for him and too bad for the team as well. Now are we looking at a similar front seven to what you guys have had in the past? If not, what exactly is different about it?
It's generally the same. You know, Lawrence Timmons is in Miami now. Vince Williams is now the starter at Buck linebacker. Dexter Shazier. The rest of the guys are generally people you're going to be familiar with. The front three, Hayward, Tuitt, Hargrave is the same from last year. You have Dupree. Like I said, James Harrison is going to play. Of course, T.J. Watt, the first-round pick, who's had a nice training camp. He's gone against some one-on-ones. It was a lot of fun to watch Watt against Alejandro Villanueva. Watt trying to figure out how to go around a 6'9", 340-pound left tackle. I know he played in Wisconsin, but they didn't have any of those guys like that in college. So he's had his up and downs against him. But overall, his level of conditioning, his comfort in dropping into coverage, and he's been productive overall. His run fits have been strong. So generally speaking, the front seven is going to be the same group of guys with, you know, I think Vince Williams and T.J. Watt being the new faces to the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about TJ. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I wasn't. He looks significantly bigger in a Steelers jersey than he did in a Wisconsin jersey. And that, to me, was just kind of odd. I mean, I just didn't expect him to be as big as he looks. Maybe it's just, you know, the camera angles or whatever. But he's had a heck of a good preseason already so far. He's showing a lot of what people thought would be almost some of his potential, and he's showing it early.
Yeah, he's starting to figure it out as a pass rusher. I think he needs to show a little bit more power and convert speed to power. He's kind of been a little too finesse. And when you face like some of these big left tackles, you know, like Villanueva, 340 pounds, it's going to be really tough to try to get around those guys. But I think he's starting to figure out. He's starting to set up his rushes better. He's just well rounded, which, you know, usually you take these pass rushers and all they know how to do is just rush the edge, and they can't play the run, they can't drop into coverage, they're not comfortable moving backwards. But because of Wisconsin, he played with his hand up. He played on both sides of the ball. He was playing in a more NFL-style defense that asked him to twist and stunt and drop. It's eased the transition to the NFL level. And of course, with his family background, you know, the Watt family, he's coming in great shape. He really didn't miss any time. The Steelers have had a lot of rookies that have had injuries. Watt, for the most part, has avoided that. And I think you can trace that back to the football family knowing how to practice efficiently and smart and take care of your body. So he's had the chance to hit the ground running, come in, play a high volume of snaps. Steelers have had a lot of injuries, minor stuff, but still injuries. An outside linebacker, which has given Watt a ton of reps, and I think he's answered the challenge pretty well.
We'll be right back with more from Alex Kozora from Steeler Depot right after this. Now, I did ask you about the cornerback position, but I want to ask you about this linebacker group, too, because the Colts are definitely in a need of these guys. And this is kind of funny. It feels like I'm just asking everybody that I talk to pregame, you know, hey, who's the best player that maybe the Colts could pick up? You know, but who this linebacker group, you guys have 50 linebackers on your roster right now. Who is one of these guys that may hit? Like, is Matakevich a guy that's going to stick around on this roster? Or some of these other guys who have some upside and some ceiling? Are these, I mean, how many of these guys are going to miss the roster? And a similar question, who's one of the best that you think that won't make it?
I think you're going to want to look elsewhere, Matt, for linebacker help. The Steelers do have some depth, but I think they're going to keep most of the guys that are worth talking about. There were two interesting battles at linebacker this year in Pittsburgh. It was the fifth outside linebacker spot between Arthur Motes and Keon Adams. You know, Motes the vet, Adams the seventh-round pick. But Adams had his left shoulder injury, and we learned from a source at Steelers Depot he's going to have surgery and get placed on IR. So that's going to basically, by default, keep Motes on the roster, and Adams is going to go to injured reserve. Inside, the only name that might get cut is a Steven Johnson. Matakevich is going to make the roster. He's the top backup at both the Mack and Buck linebacker spots. So, you know, LJ Fort's likely to make the roster as well. So Steven Johnson, a veteran guy, but really probably just a primary special team or an inside linebacker, has a chance to get cut. So outside linebacker, probably not going to be a lot of service to the Colts.
It is a really interesting dynamic this year with the 90 cut down to 53. I mean, that's a ton of people on the waiver wire. And you know, quite honestly, I think that the Colts are actually setting up for that right now. Now, the Colts are obviously without Andrew Luck. The Colts are obviously, you know, still trying to gel as a team, both offensively and defensively, really, because they're kind of held back by the quarterback situation to this point to see what their offense can do. Defensively, these guys, most of them have been injured already. Not necessarily the new guys, but a lot of the new guys have. So there's just a lot of what happens next with this group, to be quite honest with you. And when we look at this offense from the Steelers, I mean, you guys aren't going to have Bell, but
right.
You know, let's touch on that real quick first. What, if anything, do you think about the Bell situation?
I mean, it's been beaten to death so much in the Pittsburgh media that I've started to tune it out because sure. I just feel like every question, not talking about you specifically, but it's just, you know, I wish he would have been there day one. I think it's kind of a dumb decision for him not to be there. Mm-hmm. He was coming off groin surgery, so Steelers were not going to work him hard. You look back at last year's training camp, he had, I think, 25 total carries in camp. That's a very light workload. You know, there's risk of injury working out and training in Miami right now when you don't have a contract, so you can play the risky injury card no matter what you decide upon. But ultimately, while it's frustrating and there could be a small transition period, you worry about some soft tissue injuries and stuff like that for guys that aren't in quote-unquote football shape, it's going to be fine. Bell's going to be back. He says he's going to report on September 1st. That gives him a couple days before the Browns game. He's going to be out there, you know, taking the first carry against Cleveland. Once he starts being Le'Veon Bell, the fans that are angry before, they're going to cheer. It's all going to work out. Now, long term, you know, Bell after this offseason and his future, that's a different story. But in the short term, the present, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, it just never did make sense to me either. I think that was one of the recurring themes from everybody on the outside looking in is what does he benefit from this?
Right.
You know,
there's no financial benefit. I'm sure most of your listeners know, but after the tag deadline passed on the 17th, you can't work out a long-term deal.
Right. Yeah, it didn't really, I don't know. It just seemed like I don't want to go to camp this year. You know?
Yeah. I honestly think that's why. He just didn't want to be in a dorm room because the Steelers, they go off-site, they're out of college, they sleep in literal dorm rooms and beds. Like Villanueva, the 6'9 tackle, sleeps in a bed where his feet hang over the edge because they don't have an actual bed for him. So I'm honestly thinking that Bell wanted just to stay in Miami and train down there where it's nice and he can have a nice place to stay than a shoddy college hotel or a college dorm room.
Yeah, and you know what? That part I get, you know, that part I definitely get. I'm not 6'9", but I definitely get it. Heck, Villanueva's probably, you know, if it's from his knees, just bent over the edge of the bed. Those are not comfortable.
His other roommate was another 6'9" guy, so I think they had about 4 inches of square space in their dorm rooms. It was pretty wild.
That was probably not a dorm room where anybody else could go visit either, because, you know, 2'6" offensive linemen in there, or even just 2'6" guys in general. Right. You know, not a lot of space for anybody else besides them and their food.
Exactly. And so, maybe their shoes, best case scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Those things themselves are probably half the size of a couple of the running backs, I would have guessed.
I think you're right.
So look at James Conner. What do you expect from him? Just from the little bit that I've seen him, he seems very straight line, doesn't have a lot of agility, in my own opinion. You know, like I said, I don't watch him closely or anything, but that's what I get. It doesn't appear that he has a ton of that. And he's had some issues catching the ball that as well. But what do you expect out of him this year?
This year or this game against the Colts?
Well, I'll say this year. Just, I mean, kind of a broad outlook for the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get some occasional work to spell Le'Veon Bell, but when Bell is out there and he's the best back in the league and he's shown he's capable, like maybe no other back in the league can do, maybe David Johnson, that can be a three-down guy that can play 90% of the time, which is what Bell's basically done the last 3 years, it's going to be really challenging to get Conner on the field. So maybe occasionally to spell Bell for a series, maybe he'll get a little bit of short yardage work. They've done that in the past with other running backs they've had, like D'Angelo Williams, but Conner's going to play in a mostly reserve role. Now, he's had some health issues going back to the spring. He dealt with a shoulder injury in training camp this year that's caused him to miss some time, but he came back for the Falcons game and looked really good. And I think the thing that impressed me the most about James Conner against Atlanta was that for a guy that got very limited work in camp and leading up to that week, his conditioning was solid and he got better as the game went on, which is not what you would expect for a rookie and a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of reps. It was a tough start for him, but I think he shows some burst. I think there is a little bit more in terms of his lateral, you know, movement and his vision than maybe what you were thinking about earlier, but it's not great, but I think there's something there. And in camp, he looked good out of the backfield. Now against Atlanta, he dropped 2 passes, had a 3rd target incomplete to him. There were, you know, some pretty bad drops there, but I think he's improved in that area. I think he's improved in pass protection. He's got good anchor. He stays square, keeps his head up. So, you know, obviously if something happens to Bell, the Steelers are still going to be in trouble, but I think there is, you know, if Conner keeps playing the way he has, a little level of comfort in what they have behind Le'Veon Bell.
Still a guy that can be serviceable back there.
Mm-hmm. And there'll probably be a committee thing, because I don't know if you want Conner as your 3-down guy, but right. I think he's showing a good bit as a runner. And it's been limited action because he did miss a good bit of time in Latrobe.
Right. Two questions about your wide receivers real quick. Sammy Coates, has he improved this year?
Well, he was a guy that missed about the first half of training camp. He had a knee scope right before. It was on pop, I think, until August 15th or somewhere around there. So he's just working his way back, played against Atlanta last week. So we don't really have a great evaluation of where he's at.
Right.
But it certainly needs to be a strong finish to camp for Sammy Coates, because he's a guy that may still be on the bubble. I'm pretty sure he's going to make it, but that wide receiver group is really deep and there's a lot of competition there.
Mm-hmm. And another guy, former Colt there, Darius Heyward-Bey, a guy who, you know, was basically called everything but a good hands catcher in Indianapolis and anywhere else he's been. He was actually a really good special teamer here in Indianapolis, and I would assume that he's something of the sort there as a gunner if he works on special teams in Pittsburgh. But what do you see his prospects for this year? Has he continued to be improving in catching the ball with his hands? And away from his body as opposed to cradling it in and using his body to catch? And does he stand a chance to make the roster?
To answer your first question about his hands, no. They're probably about as bad as they were in Indianapolis, and maybe they even got worse this year. He dropped 5 passes in camp, which led the team. And while this is not all his fault, because he was playing with the backups, he didn't catch a lot of passes from Ben, I track all the training camp stats and data. He caught, I think, 9 of 35 targets this year. It's about 25%. It's the worst that I've tracked in the 4 years. Again, that's not all his fault, but 5 drops won't help you either. People debate about whether or not he's going to make the team. You're right that he's continued working as a gunner and being a really a special teamer for this team, but with a deep wide receiver room, is that enough?
Right.
I think he's going to make it because he has the special team value. He's in tremendous shape. He's still the fastest guy on the team. He can play all three positions at wide receiver if you had him to, and I think he's a leader in that room. It's loved by Richard Mann, the receivers coach, and Mike Tomlin, of course, the head coach of the Steelers. So my guess is that he does make it, but it will be in a special teams deep reserve role only. He won't see the field as a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And we were actually, once he got basically downgraded and out of the wide receiver rotation here in Indy, we didn't even notice until then that he was such a quality gunner. And it was like, wow, you know, why doesn't he just do that? Why don't they just have him do that? Because he was down the field making tackles and solid at it. You know, he was good. He could definitely catch the ball carrier's legs, but he couldn't catch the ball. You know, and that was the major issue with him.
But credit to him for reinventing himself to go from a seventh overall pick, a bust in Oakland. You know, his career could have been over. He's worked his tail off and totally transformed himself. So I give him a lot of credit for the work he's put in.
Absolutely. And an absolute quality guy as well.
Definitely. So,
well, are we going to see Ben this, I think you did allude to that earlier in the show. How much Ben, how did he look this camp? I mean, did he look just like Ben of old? Has he, you know, lost any weight, gained any weight? Does he look to have a better deep ball? Anything like that that we can look at this Saturday?
Ben looked like Ben. I mean, he looked solid again. He hasn't played the first 2 weeks, so, you know, there might be a tiny bit of rust to shake off because he hasn't been in the stadium for so long. But, no, he looks good. I mean, people talk about his weight all the time. Everyone says he's fat. I don't know. I'm not good with weight. You know, I don't want to guess my girlfriend's weight. I don't want to guess my quarterback's weight. So he looks fine to me. His deep ball is as good as ever. He had a solid camp. The leadership, the communication skills that he brings are all A+. He's working with still a lot of these young, new receivers, Eli Rogers, Justin Hunter and the like, Smith-Schuster as well. So Ben will be Ben. I'm sure he's going to air it out once or twice and test that cold secondary.
So how much do you think this year, or this Saturday, we are going to see of the game plan? I mean, obviously, you know, they do offer some. Every team does. They don't offer it all. I mean, that would be stupid in the preseason. But how much and what should we look at from the Colts' defensive standpoint? What should the Colts be prepared to face this Saturday?
For the Steelers' offense, you're saying?
Yep.
You know, stopping Martavis Bryant, the weapons the Steelers have at receiver are so deep. You have A.B. Bryant. The other thing I think it's important to talk about him is that, you know, he got obviously suspended last year, had to train by himself, and he said this is the first time he's ever taken training seriously, really ever actually worked out. And one of the byproducts of that is he gained a lot of weight. He came in at Clemson at about 211 pounds, and people still think he's 211 pounds. He's about 230 right now and still runs in the 4.3 range. So you have a different dynamic, Martavis Bryant, to deal with this year than you have in past years. And even in past years, it was tough to stop. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. Beyond that, the game planning, yeah, I'm sure they're going to do some of that. I can't really speak to exactly how much they're going to do. But, you know, just trying to stop all the weapons the Steelers have. And for the big thing I'm looking for Pittsburgh, you know, offensively, and what the Colts can try to stop defensively, is how the Steelers' red zone offense goes. Because as good as they've been in the past seasons, Matt, they've struggled in the red zone. That's kind of a big area this team circling this year. Mm-hmm. And they rep the heck out of it at training camp. They do a thing called seven shots to start every training camp practice with the balls on the 2 yard line. They get seven plays to work on situational, you know, red zone goal line stuff for the offense and defense. So if the Colts can shut the Steelers down in the red zone, that's probably a win for them. And if not, that'll be a win for the Steelers.
And where is it on that offensive line, if there is a spot on that offensive line, that the Colts might be able to dig in and try to, you know, find a hole in there in order to get some pass rush? Is it on the edges? Is there on the interior?
Oh, good luck. If they're all healthy, you know, Palance's missed the first two games. I think he's going to play against the Colts, though. I mean, that's a really solid offensive line. I mean, you have Villanueva, Foster, Palance, Castro, Gilbert. It's one of the best groups in football. So, I mean, if you had to call a weak link, you know, Foster's not the most athletic guy. He's a bigger guy that's kind of tough to move around, to get around. But there is not a one single weakness. The Steelers have really transformed their offensive line. I'm sure the Colts wish that they can do the same at some point next couple of years.
Yeah, like now, as in some
point. Now, is a quick question. Ryan Kelly, what's his deal?
He's got a foot issue. I mean, it's not we assumed it was a broken foot at first. But what do they? It's a foot defect. He actually has a defect in his foot that's caused him to have surgery. So he's going to probably be out at least the first 6-7 weeks.
Oh wow, yeah, man, you guys not a who's going to start at center then?
My guess is it'll be Brian Schwenke, but Schwenke's just now been brought in off the PUP, so he is, you know, basically practicing for the first time this week, and you know, if he's ready by week one, he'll start. If not, it could be Adam Redmond or, you know, we don't know. Nobody that you guys would ever know.
I've never even heard of Redmond.
Yeah, no, Deshaun Bond's a rookie, come in, undrafted guy, and they've had him start in the first couple preseason games. So it's not a pretty sight, you know. It's just not good. So, you know, the Colts offensive line could use a little bit of what the Steelers have. That's for sure. Transitioning over to what the Colts might be able to expect from the offensive side, where is there a spot in this Steelers defense that the Colts offense, as weak as it is right now, might be able to exploit?
Well, again, you know, the secondary, it's gotten better, and the safety spots have improved. Drafting Sean Davis, who's taken a jump. Artie Burns has taken a big jump from last year, but you're still figuring out the other spots at cornerback. And it looked really bad against Atlanta last week, and I think that could be an area that the Colts have to exploit is the Steelers secondary.
It sounds like you're under a train.
Yeah, there's one coming, so if you want to ask a longer question, I'll mute my mic. It's never live near train tracks. It's the worst idea.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the Colts, you know, are in the position that they're in, where, you know, trying to figure out who exactly they're going to even try to target in this. Like, the linebackers are always strong. The defensive line, there's always a guy on the edge or in the interior that can make a play. The linebackers will come through and make a play. The Colts offensive line typically struggles with anything other than straight up man-to-man or, you know, a one-on-one situation and an ability to double team guys. The Steelers don't allow for a lot of that to happen. That's one of the things that makes it really difficult for this Colts team against the Steelers on this side of the ball. Now, you said something about the. You mentioned the secondary as being more likely the weak link, if there is one. Is it down the field? Is it underneath routes? Where is their specific limitations at?
Again, it's that opposite corner spot of Burns. You know, Ross Cockrell's been the guy, and I like Ross Cockrell more than Steelers fans. But you know, Tomlin kind of said it's an open competition between him and Cody Sensabaugh. So I don't know really how that's going to shake up. They've been beat vertically sometimes. You know, they're still going to be aggressive. Keith Butler, even the first 2 weeks where game plans are generally vanilla, has been aggressive with his fire zones, with some DB blitzes. So, you know, how is the Colts offense going to react to that? That got into trouble last year in the regular season. So that's something to watch out for as well, is how does the Colts offensive line and how does whoever's playing at quarterback, Tolzien, Morris, whatever you guys have going on, recognize and change the protection and pick some of that stuff up. That's going to be another key for the Colts offense.
Yeah. I don't know that the Colts will be able to get a lot of change of protection with Stephen Morris in there. But or Tolzien, really, for that matter, because he doesn't really pay attention. In fact, last week, T.Y. Hilton was sitting out for a screen, and before Tolzien even approached the line, he pointed at the corner, the nickel guy who was coming on a blitz, pointed at him, and Tolzien still took the snap, looked to T.Y. Hilton, threw it right into his hands, and just, you know, it was like, wow. Does this guy even pay attention to what's going on around him? You know, so that's struggling. But I think that Stephen Morris obviously adds, you know, a little bit of the ability for Chudzinski to expand the game plan a little bit, expand kind of what he expects out of the quarterback, to allow him to get out of the pocket. Doesn't have to rope him into a tight end, running back, heavy passing scheme, power scheme on the ground. You know, Marlon Mack adds a little bit of a dynamic here to this offense as well. So I think the Colts are just hoping and praying that a lot of it can work. You know, last year, you guys saw Tolzien late in the season. Now, he didn't have a bad game. I wouldn't qualify that as a bad game from him. The receivers dropped a lot of passes, and they didn't help him any. But it just isn't enough. They're just not, you know, unless the other team is throwing the ball to us when we're on defense, there's just not enough firepower in that offense with Tolzien behind it. And Stephen Morris, I think, gives it a little bit. He offers a little bit of that. Basically, it comes down to play Stephen Morris and see what you got against a realistic, respectable defense in Pittsburgh, or play Tolzien and not find anything else about what you've got and risk having to go outside the building this late in the preseason to try to find a quarterback for the first few weeks of the season, depending on how long it takes Luck to get back. So not a fun time as far as I'm concerned, not for the quarterback position at all. Alex, thank you for joining me, man, tonight. It was a lot of fun to get that in there. Please tell everybody where they can catch your work at. You do great work, and let everybody know.
No, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me on, and I apologize to any headphone listeners for the train. I thought I was going to be okay. There was one before we came on. I thought I'd be okay, but didn't get that lucky. Couldn't have get that lucky.
Kind of like me with my water softener down here in my office. It'll go off in the worst times.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's the worst. You can find me, though, at Alex underscore Kazora. SteelersDepot.com is where you're going to see all my work at. Been there for a long time. Really couldn't be happier. Full-time job, which is, I know, a rare thing to have. So, yeah, thanks so much, Matt, for having me on, and we'll have to be on again soon.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Make sure you guys are following Alex on Twitter. He is a great follow. You don't have to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan to enjoy following Alex. Alex is one of the better NFL guys out there. Really smart, great communication. Always keeps people entwined in what he's talking about, and great to have around. Always appreciate your two cents here, and definitely nobody else to go to for Pittsburgh Steelers talk, that's for sure. So definitely appreciate you being on. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you come back next week. Sunday we'll probably have a post-game wrap-up reactionary to the Colts preseason week 3 game here against the Steelers. Continue to put in those ratings and reviews. Like I said, we'll just do it now. We'll get it up to 75. We get up to 75 reviews, then we'll give away another jersey. So let's do that. Make sure you guys are following Alex. Follow me at mdainley_NFL. Follow Stampede Blue. Get that at stampedeblue.com. And I will talk to all of you guys next week right here on the Colts Cast.